Thank you for tuning in to this edition of Kingsway Podcast from Pastor Sean. You are about to hear a message from a recent Sunday service. We consider it a privilege to be on a spiritual journey with you. So take a few moments with us and allow God to inspire you today.
I'm excited to preach. You know, I have a little bit of time here, so I'm going to slow down, hopefully, and not preach as fast as I normally do. Although I have a lot to say, because our last message before Pastor Appreciation, I didn't quite finish. And so I want to sort of add 5 or so minutes to that message, close it out, and get into the second part of the message today, which I'm excited about. In fact, this was a message where I asked my wife, I asked my kids, have you ever heard of this crazy thing happening in the Bible? And they go, no, Dad, that's not in the Bible. And then I read it to them, and they're all like, oh, really? Yeah, so it's there. So I'm going to share this with you guys this morning. So last week was Pastor Appreciation. The week before, I started this message called this Waymaker series. The message was, Behold, I Thought. And I asked you, what are your thoughts today? What are you thinking? What's going on in your mind? And then I shared this verse with you here from Isaiah 55:8. It says, For my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. This isn't the pastor talking. It doesn't mean I got the best thoughts in the church. It doesn't mean I got the best ways in the church. This is not even somebody from the congregation talking. This isn't somebody like a priest or a father or a rabbi talking, saying, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways, as if they are somehow the authority over all of you or me. This is, in fact, a quote from the Lord himself. God says his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. It's humbling, isn't it? It's a way that God impresses upon us to be humbled, that regardless of what our thoughts are, we need to realign them with his. That, yeah, we have purpose and we have plans and we somehow find purpose and plans in everything we do. And this is a constant reminder to say, whoa, are we looking for his purpose and his plans and his thoughts in our life? Because what's most remarkable about this, if God's ways aren't my ways and I go about my life doing my ways all the time, then what would my life be if I was following his ways? And hence, that question has opened up this topic of him being a way maker, of God creating ways where there are no ways. God creating ways in the midst of my direction to allow me to follow his will on the path that I am on, taking my situation and not just getting me and pulling me out of it and putting me over here, but allowing me to go through my situation to learn some lesson. Meanwhile, he's making a way through it all the same. There are songs, there are promises, there are stories in the Bible where God makes ways. And I ask you today, is God making a way in your life? We sing a song called The Waymaker. The miracle worker, the promise keeper, the light in the darkness. You know, when you're in that closet with the lights off, he's the light. You bring the light. And this is why we sing this song. It's a song that's really important to us right now. Because in the Waymaker, in the mindset of the Waymaker, he makes the ways. He lays it out, not us. Can't tell you how many times people come to me and say, here's what I'm going to do, A, B, and C. What do you think? Or here's what I'm thinking about doing, A, B, and C. What do you think? Well, one of the first questions I ask is, well, did God tell you that? Because if God told you that, by the way, I'm not going to tell you any different. Who am I? It's God. If God says it, go with it. But generally speaking, we're usually confused about what God says. And so we go to the pastor as if I have revelation on each individual ones of you. And sometimes God does that. Sometimes, and I've spoken to some of you, and God has given me revelation. Sometimes we bring apostles or prophets in. We've had Terry Bailey here multiple times to confirm what God is already doing in your life. But in all those cases, even when Pastor Terry Bailey, he speaks prophecy over your life, and I come and they talk to you about it afterwards, you come and talk to me about it afterwards, in almost all of those cases, no one says to me, he told me something I didn't know. He surprised me. He read my future or something like that. It's not like that. You see, what's happening is God has already spoken to you. You just weren't confident enough to move in that way. When Terry or somebody else affirms that, you're like, whoa, I can do this now. That's the Waymaker. It's not just another way, but having the strength to go through what God wants you to. So last week, we talked about a few names. This week, I want to talk about this guy, Noah. Not talking about this Noah here, although he's a big guy too. I don't know if Noah was a big guy or a small guy. I don't know. He was pretty old. I do know that. Noah was one of the first men mentioned in the Bible. He is in Genesis chapter 6. And the story is one of those amazing, bigger-than-life stories, right? The story of Noah, it's very, very simple. You see, he has his family, and he's living in a community. And apparently, many people are disobeying the Lord. They're not living the way the Lord wants them to live. And so what happens is the Lord looks down upon his people, and he finds one man who is trying to live righteously. That man is Noah. And he says to Noah, Noah, it's time to do things differently here on earth. And I want to use you to help me do it. I'm going to cause a rain. Many people believe that this was the first rain that ever existed on earth prior to that. I don't know if I believe that, but most theologians do. They believe this was the first rain. And so at least if not the first rain, the first sort of like torrential downpour, the first sort of major flood, like a Michael type storm. I think I believe that. He says, not only is it not just going to rain, it's not just water's going to come down. It's going to come down so hard, it's going to damage trees, knock down homes. It's going to continue to rain for so long, the water's going to build up. It's going to create a flood, something he probably had never seen before. And they said, you know what? You're not going to survive it unless you build a boat. A what? A boat. A what? A boat. It floats. It does what? Exactly. He had no idea what this stuff was. A boat, a float, nothing. Build it out of wood. Didn't know chemistry, didn't know biology, certainly didn't know physics. How was he going to put this boat together, engineer it, and then bring all of the animals into it? And then make sure no one gets sick and dies? How am I going to do all this? The Bible says this in Genesis chapter 6, verse 17. I am going to bring the floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. Now, I would suspect that when you go in your prayer closet and pray, when you pray in church, you pray with me, or you go to the war room and pray, and you're asking for the Lord to make a way where there is no way, and then the Lord says to you, I'm going to destroy everything. Everything on earth will perish. Generally speaking, not the answer you're looking for. I'm pointing out to you that his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But are you determined enough? Are you courageous enough, brave enough? And in this case, are you crazy? Are you crazy enough to follow his ways? Because when we come up with our ways, we're, you know, unless we're a teenager, our ways generally aren't very crazy. All of my son's ways are crazy. But outside of that, generally our ways are thought through, intuitive, logical. They look like they're going to lead to a positive end. And in most cases, because I've counseled with many adults, our ways usually do not lead to a positive end, regardless how logical they are. That's because we live in a sinful world, and there are things that are outside of our control. And you know who is in control? God. And you know who has ways that are better than our ways? God. And sometimes they're straight crazy. When you text this emoji from now on, I hope you remember this part of the message, and you think to yourself, what crazy way am I following today? Have you ever followed a crazy way? Because if you haven't, perhaps you aren't crazy enough. Because I believe the Lord wants us to do some crazy things. This is a great example. Build a boat, send everybody in it, get into it, and let's see what happens. God's ways aren't always logical. They don't always make sense. Even if you come to me and walk me through it, I may not be able to make sense of it. I am bound by space and time in this little place called America that I live with, this little bit of education that I have. I might not be able to understand the master of the universe and what he's trying to do with you. But I do know he's got a way. You know, let me tell a couple quick stories here because I have a little bit of time. Quick stories. There was once a girl in our church who went to college. As a matter of fact, I just told this story this morning. She went to college because she really wanted a higher education and she wanted to do something really powerful in the world. And she felt called to be in the medical field. So she took all the biology classes and the chemistry classes and the physics and the math classes, and she struggled through it, but she endured. She was determined to follow through. There were other people in our church doing it at the same time, and she wanted to be a part of that, in fact. In the middle of all of her studies, in the middle of all of this pressure, in the middle of all of this dedication and commitment, the Lord began to speak to her something pretty crazy. Stop taking those classes, take these classes. What do you mean? I've spent all my energy here. So she comes to the pastor. What do you think? Well, I think we should pray. We start praying, we start teaching her about walking in faith, and lo and behold, she starts taking these other classes. And from there, you know the rest of the story. From some of those classes, she goes to study abroad. The church helped fund that. From studying abroad, she came back and she started meeting with some missionaries. From there, she went and did a missionary trip abroad to help refugees in Greece. And then she came back, and then she realized that she wants to dedicate her life to the service of others all around the world who need a helping hand. That's crazy. That's crazy. That's where she went from part one to part two. That's Caitlin Roush. If you haven't met her, some of you support her, and we appreciate what you do for our missionaries. Amen? Amen. Here's another story. Actually, interestingly enough, related now. But I had one guy. I was a youth pastor like Pastor Chris, and I did youth night right here. And there was a time when our youth was really committing themselves to the Lord, and we stopped playing basketball, and we came in here. We started doing services, and we had just a few of them. And after a while, we had a bunch more and a bunch more. And after a while, we had as many of you as we had youth here on Friday nights. And we started a worship team and a worship band, and kids were worshiping. And we have service. Matter of fact, it felt just like it does right now. Except I was wearing, probably jeans and a t-shirt, and the lights were completely black, and, we had smoke and all kind of crazy things. But the kids came and kids got saved. And in that process, most of the people that came at that time, because this is what I was into, was sports. Everybody was into sports. Football, basketball, baseball, lacrosse, all these things. And I had one of these students came, was a really amazing athlete. He was really into football and baseball a lot. And he came and said, "What you have for me, I don't like all this dark music stuff. I'm not into that." We began to pray for this person. The mom and dad prayed for this person. Some people in the youth prayed for this person. The Lord then hit this person on the head, quite literally. He can tell you his own testimony. And then he came to church the next day, came right here, stood here, said, "Guess what? I bought a guitar." I said, "What?" He said, "I bought a guitar. I went to a pawn store, got a guitar, something of that ilk." I said, "You have a guitar? Do you know how to play?" He goes, "No." I said, "Do you want to play it?" He goes, "Yes, I thought you were into sports. I want to play music now." Years later, Chad Bates plays on our worship team, married our worship leader, now has beautiful children, and he's no longer interested in sports, but worship. That's crazy. God's ways are not our ways. Here's another personal story. My wife and I, we sat right there. My wife kind of sits in the same spot. She's been there for many years. Once we had kids, we used to sit up there, and then we sat up there, and then once we had kids, we started sitting there. And I was a youth pastor for 8 years. Then my wife was a youth pastor for 3 to 4, depending on how you count, years after that. And then we had our third child, Madison, and it became very difficult to do ministry. But on top of that, we felt like Kingsway as a whole wasn't ministering to our children. And we were really upset about that. So you know what we did? We left. Then we went on the hunt. You know the hunt. Let's find a church that meets our needs. So we did. It was great. We went to all the new churches, the big ones that you see all around, some of the old churches that are even bigger, some of the churches you've never heard of, some churches our friends or family go to, house church. We went to all churches, big and small. We finally found a church that has probably one of the best kids' ministries that I've been to. And our kids got involved there, and they were very involved, Madison and Lance and Austin. And, of course, Dad got involved, and I'm not here to tell you that whole testimony other than things didn't work out. I can tell you a million reasons why, but one of those things was my wife, and she can share her testimony with you one day, but that testimony undoubtedly led us back to Kingsway. That's crazy. Why would we go back to the place we left knowing that nothing has changed? Because God said things will not improve until you do. When we came back to Kingsway, God completely changed our life, sitting right there. wondering what I'm going to do. Some man stand behind me came up, put his hand on my shoulder and said, "Wow, God has his hand on you." I said, "No, he doesn't. You do." He goes, "No, God has his hand on you. I've never met this man in my life." That man was Bronson. He prayed for me. The next day, Pastor White announces what he announced. And I, with Pastor Bill and some others, we scrambled to do what we can to keep the doors open. That's crazy. God's ways are not our ways. His plans are not our plans. But there's a cautionary tale here in Noah's story, Genesis, and I want to remind you of it because you may not have seen it in a while if you haven't read Genesis chapter 6, so I'm going to point it back up to you. This cautionary tale of what happened to Noah, which ended up, you know, saving the human race and saving all the animals in the flood in this giant ark, and you say, "Wow, that was so great. I wish God would tell me to do something like that, and I could be so crazy to do it, and then I could be in the Bible and have a story about me." Well, when I think about the book of Genesis, I want to point out two really small things because you may have missed them if you've looked. Genesis 6:22. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. It's just one verse. It's snuck in there. In between, get all the animals, don't die, build a boat. It says, Noah, this is very hard to do, isn't it? And God, as he often does in Scripture, to make a point, he doesn't use explanation points like we do. Instead, he just repeats himself. So just a few verses later in 7, it says, "And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him." Our ways are not his ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. Are we capable of doing what God commands us? Are we brave enough, faithful enough, determined enough? Are we crazy enough? You know, I told you there was a secret in this for those who wanted to hear about it, and so I wanted to share that secret with you real quick, and then I'm going to move on. I always believed that God came to Noah and just told Noah to build a boat, and that was it. Everyone else was just destined to die. I just assumed that's the way it was written, and that's kind of how it felt when you read Genesis, but if you just read Genesis, that's all you know. If you keep reading the Bible, there's a bunch more books. You get into the New Testament, there's a bunch more books, and in one of those books, there's Peter 1 and 2, and in 1 Peter, it actually talks about Noah, and it says that God went to a bunch of people, and they all disobeyed him, but Noah. 1 Peter chapter 3, go check it out for yourself. In other words, who is God speaking to today? It's not just Pastor Sean. God went to a bunch of people. Who's willing to hear the word of the Lord? Who's willing to acknowledge him? That's what this message is about. Not just that God is moving, but he is here today. He is here today. Who will acknowledge God in your life and do everything he commanded him? Maybe phrased very differently. Have you ever been in a situation where you had to do something so crazy that the result would change the world? Maybe there are some among us. Because the Bible tells us that there are those who do things and don't tell everybody what they do. God blesses those people specially. And so there may be those among us right here today. But if you haven't been in a situation where God has asked you to do something so crazy that it very well may change the world, then maybe you aren't listening. Because our God is doing it daily to each one of us. I showed you this picture here. This is the picture of an unlikely hero named David. Have you ever been in a situation where God motivated you to do something where nothing could stop you? Have you ever been motivated to the point where you were going to finish God's work regardless of what anybody said? Your pastor, the president, your spouse, you were just going to do it because everyone else is telling you you're crazy, but you knew God told you. Or the world, or your situation, or your environment, or your resources held you back, but you went through it. If you haven't been in that situation yet, maybe you aren't acknowledging his ways are not your ways. How about this one? Have you ever stood face to face with a lion? You ever been in a situation where you needed God right now, urgently? You needed God to move, but he didn't. He didn't move. In fact, Perhaps the enemy moved and you found yourself in a situation where there was no out. Face to face with a lion. I know there are those among us who feel this, who have this. Today, you may be here thinking you're in a situation where there is no out. And as I've said before, and I shared with a few this morning, I've actually shared this thought now, I think 5 times after I've written it, as people have texted me and called me. But again, I'm going to share it again as I shared it in worship. Sometimes when you need, when you expect, when you want God to move right now, the enemy moves first. Are you brave enough, determined enough, crazy enough to stick to it? Daniel did. The lions bowed. That God, the God that bowed the lions, the God that allowed the little teeny rock to hit the giant, the God that gave Noah all of the engineering marvel to build a boat big enough to house every animal in the world, that God is here. Just let it get in. That God is here. Let it get into your spirit for a second. That God, what problem you have today? Do you have to save every living animal on the face of the earth? Do you have to go into the UFC ring and go take down some giant? You have to go to the zoo and face one of these lions face to face, do you? We live in an extremely difficult world. Missy Annie, I see you. I'm so happy to see you in service this morning. Missy Annie's got some years on her. She's got some seasoning on her. She knows the Lord is good, but she saw something this year that she has never seen in her life. She was face to face with death in a car that was sinking in flood waters, was rescued in Jesus' name. This world we live in throws us surprises all the time. Most recently, this world is inundating our news feeds with hatred. Bombs sent to human beings intended to blow them up. Some guy with a gun couldn't get into the church. He wanted to shoot people, so he went across the street to the Kroger's and just started shooting people. Another guy decided he was going to go into a synagogue and shoot them all up. I'm not here to talk to you about guns. I'm here to talk to you about hate. This is the world we live in. Yet God chooses to bless us with his presence. Think about it this way. This here is a picture of the temple. I mean, the holy temple. The rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. Now, it looks pretty real. Actually, when I saw this photo, I had to double click and find out where did it come from and what is it? Because I want to go there. I don't know if this is exactly what it looked like per se. We don't have photographs of the first temple in Jerusalem. But you can go today to Israel, and I was just looking this up. I haven't been. There are trips that go all the time. If you want to go to Israel, we can connect you with a trip to go. And you can go and see the locations of the temple, and you can see where the first one crashed and the second one crashed. You can see all these things. And now they have this thing because of technology. You can wear these masks for virtual reality, and you can walk through the temple as it was, and you'll see this. That's the incense. That's the candle. And behind it, you have the veil of the temple. Behind the veil of the temple is where the presence of the Lord lived. It was the only place that you could experience the presence of God. The Ark of the Covenant was there. I want you to get a hold of this, though. The inner court was a place only priests could go. The outer court, only men. Outside that, you had another field where the women could go. Outside that, there was another area where the Gentiles, the unbelievers, could go. And outside that, there was a place where the foreigners could go, people who weren't indigenous to that country. So think about this. If you were a foreigner, you could only get so close to God. behind the Gentiles. If you were not a blood-born Jew, you could only get so close to God behind the women. If you were a woman, a Jewish woman, they let you in to these outer courts, but you could only get so close to God behind the men. And the men, if you were a man, you, Jewish men, you could come into the outer courts and you could come right up to the front and you could only get so close to God unless you were a trained Orthodox rabbi. And if you are a rabbi, you could go in to the inner courts of the temple. And if you so choose, you could open the veil of the temple and walk into God's presence. But only if you were that priest. No one else could. And if you were that priest and you weren't perfect in your execution of the ritual, when you walked into that presence of God, you'd fall dead. And they would have to drag you out because they couldn't come in after you. I want you to think today of how it used to be, of how close we could get to God or how far we had to stay away from God. Things changed. Things changed, church. They changed when the New Testament came around and we found this guy. That is Jesus Christ, or a rendition of Jesus as he's entering that same Jerusalem many, many years later. This is what we refer to as the triumphant entry. It happens during Easter time. You know, this is the resurrection, because what happens, we all know, he goes into that town and he gets crucified. This is when God became flesh. He was no longer behind the veil of the temple. He was God incarnate walking among us. God was human, blessing all of those that would come in contact. God was here. And people rushed to him to touch him, to find, to be around him. And then you know what happened? Get a hold of this. People became more preoccupied with everything else. I don't like the way he worships. I don't like the way he teaches. I don't like the way he's doing his service. I don't like the way that I can't get to him. I don't like the way that there's so many people here. I don't like the way that he's got more attention than I got. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to take our eyes off Jesus. We're going to put him on the king, and we're going to get rid of this Jesus. Does that sound familiar? I want you to think, when he entered Jerusalem, there were people who had never seen Jesus before, had never had an opportunity to be close to Jesus. There were people who were deathly sick, deathly ill. And you know what happened? There's a story. Pastor Pat, he preached it last week, Luke chapter 5. He went through and he was talking about the nets and he was talking about the fish. And then he went on and he told another miracle. One of the miracles was the paralyzed man. The paralyzed man who heard about Jesus. Jesus here, he said to his friends. Jesus here. I need to get to Jesus. His friends said, Jesus here. Let's go. Let's get him there. How are we going to get him there? There's 8,000 people around Jesus. We can't possibly get you to Jesus. So they climbed up on the building. They ripped open the roof and they lowered the man down on the mat. You remember this story? Pat told you to read it. Did you read it? You do not need to rip open a roof today to be in God's presence. Because God is here. Now, I think we take this for granted. I think that we wake up in the morning and we say, yeah, we're going to go to church. Bless me, Lord. Yeah, I'm going to put my clothes on. Bless me, Lord. I'm going to get coffee or donuts or whatever you do at church. You know, I'm going to come. Bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. I'm okay if the Lord blesses you. I hope the Lord does bless you. But you know what I want more then the Lord's blessing on your life is his presence. Let me try to make this point even stronger. Anybody know where this is? Well, you could guess any major city. It's a beautiful city, in fact. This is in the Philippines. I know about it because some of the greatest pool players of all time live in the Philippines, so I've researched it. There's a place in the Philippines, the capital, in fact, called Manila. It's a gorgeous place. It looks like this. It's got beaches as well, and water, and cities, and it's all kind of wonderfulness. Unless you actually go there and you start going outside the city, you're going to find this. This is the part of Manila that you often don't hear about. Manila, in order to keep its city the way it is, basically has most of their land turned into a living dump. The trash, the refuge is all dumped in a place like this. And as you can tell, those things you see there, yeah, you're right, those are homes. Those are homes. People live in those. Some people never get out of those. As I began to research this, I found out that there's other people there in this dump. Evangelist Leith Anderson, she wrote this. I was taken of all places to Manila, to the garbage dump, and saw something I have never seen anywhere. On the dump in Manila, there are tens of thousands of people who make it their homes. Shacks constructed out of things other people would have thrown away. And their children are sent out early in the morning to scavenge for food for other people's garbage. So they have their family meal. People have been born and grown up on the garbage dump. They have had their families, their children. They have had garbage to eat. They have finished out their lives. They have died without ever going anyplace else. They didn't even go to the actual city of Manila. This is an astonishing thing. But what may catch your attention more than all of that is that it wasn't just the Philippines living there. In fact, there are Americans. There are Americans who live on the garbage dump. Yes, these are American missionaries. Christians who have chosen to leave this country to go there and communicate the love of Jesus Christ to people who otherwise would never hear it. Again, amazing. Who would think people would leave all of this to go live there? As amazing as this is, this only begins to create the emotion inside of you that can explain what it would be like for Jesus Christ to leave the throne of heaven and come down to this sinful place called earth. Why would he do that? Why would he spend time with us? It's no different than you choosing to live on this dump. You have a choice not to. Why did Jesus do that? For the Son of God made that journey and he knew exactly what he was doing. He knew where he was going. He knew what the sacrifice would be. He journeyed from heaven to earth on a mission to save the human race. From the earth and humanity that he had created, which had gone terribly, terribly wrong. Sin had turned against God and polluted all of the earth. This is what was left. If God had a business consultant working with him, the advice would probably be cut his losses, start all over again. But Jesus Christ had a different idea. God so loved the world that he came from heaven, him and his one and only Son, here to earth. God's ways are not our ways. God is here. I'm going to share one more quick story and then I'm going to close. And I have to share it because I have 5 more minutes and I told my kids I would. What's the craziest Bible story you've heard about? I want you to think about it in your mind. Now pick a story, maybe it's that one or one even crazier, that could never happen. You know, in college we used to debate, the Bible says that God stopped the sun from falling. That means the earth would have to stop rotating, which means we wouldn't have gravity, which means everyone would float. I've been down this argument 100 times. But that is not the craziest thing that's in the Bible. Splitting of the Red Sea, not the craziest thing. People floating up to heaven, not the craziest thing. I argue the craziest thing in the Bible is when God made the animals talk. Did you know that in the Bible, animals talk? My kids didn't know. They're like, this is not the Secret Life of Pets, Dad. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Listen to this story. So the next morning, Balaam got up, saddled his donkey, started off to go to the Jewish people. But God was angry with him, so he sent the angel of the Lord to stand in the road and block his way. As Balaam and his two servants were riding along, Balaam's donkey, saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road, drawn with a sword. This is Numbers chapter 22. The donkey bolted off the road into a field. It was scared. Balaam beat the donkey to turn it back onto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood at a place where the road was narrow between two walls. The donkey saw the angel of the Lord. It freaked out. It tried to squeeze by and not touch the angel, and it crushed Balaam's foot against the wall in the process. Balaam then beat the donkey again. Then the angel of the Lord moved farther down the road, stood in the place that was too narrow for the donkey to get past. This time, when the donkey saw the angel, it just bowed before him. Balaam, bang, bang, he smacked on the donkey. Then the Lord gave the donkey the ability to speak. It says it right here, 22 verse 28. It says, the donkey, I can't use a donkey voice. I can't. What have I done? Anyway, what have I done that deserves you beating me three times? The donkey says that. And then this is Balaam's answer. You made me look like a fool. You're talking to a donkey. You made me look like a fool. If I had a sword with me, I would kill you right now. That's what he says to the donkey. The donkey then goes, but am I the same donkey you have ridden all your life? Have I ever done anything like this before? The Bible says Balaam thinks about it and says, no. Yes, Balaam, you have never talked to the donkey before. Forget the fact he's bowing down right now. This is a little crazy. Verse 31, if you highlight one, I want you to highlight this. Numbers 22, verse 31. I didn't put it on the screen because I'm hoping you're digging through your Bibles right now. It says, then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing there. God is here. He will use whatever means necessary for his will to be done, even a talking donkey. He will move in very unexpected ways. Expect the unexpected. There are a million ways he could have stopped Balaam. A talking donkey wasn't one I would have come up with. But that's what was necessary. But then the Lord opens Balaam's eyes. Make no mistake today. When you ask Jesus Christ into your life, your eyes were opened to sin, to this world. He has opened your eyes. Are you seeing the talking donkeys in your life? Maybe it's the radio in the morning singing the song that you need it. Maybe it's the guy on the radio praying a prayer that you need it. Maybe it's the pastor sending out a text that you need it. Maybe it's devotion you stumbled upon. Maybe there's a million ways God is talking to you, begging you to do something different than you are doing now, simply to follow his way and not yours. This is that donkey. Now I can see why I picked the donkey. That looks like some of the conversations I've had this week. I'm coming to a close. Thank you for your time and your attention. I want you to think about this. What happens when God shows up? A donkey talks. A river is split. A giant falls. A lion's mouth is shut. You're divinely inspired to build something you never thought. You're divinely given strength to do something you never thought. You're divinely encouraged to say something you never thought. God works in unexpected ways. The Christmas story is one of those. An unexpected woman at an unexpected time and an unexpected way, a little baby. This is the pattern of the unexpected. And before you guys begin to play, I can't help but read this. I found this on the internet, and it was amazing. This man's name is Keith Thompson, and he wrote the A to Z of the unexpected ways, and I wanted to share it with you in a 30 seconds here. This is A to Z of how God is unexpected. He showed up in Abraham's life in old age, unexpected. Balaam's life in a donkey. Caleb's life in a windless war. Daniel in a lion's den. Eve through the pains of childbearing. He showed up in Felix in the truth of a common criminal, Gideon in a wool fleece, Hosea in an unfaithful wife. Notice each one of these things are unexpected, and maybe they've happened to you. God is working. Hosea, in an unfaithful wife. Isaiah in the death of a king. Jacob in a wrestling match. King David in the death of a child. Lazarus in his own death. God showed up. Moses in a shrub. Noah in an ark. Onimus in a letter. Peter on the shore. Queen Esther by a kidnapping. Ruth in a foreign land. Samuel in the middle of the night. Timothy while he was young. Uzziah in a disease. Ventashi in a demotion. The widow with just her two pennies. Xerxes in a second marriage. Yahshua in an army. And Zacchaeus in a tree. God is in the business of doing things in an unexpected way, in unexpected places. When he chose a people, he came to the smallest people group. When he chose a king, he came to the youngest among us. When he chose his disciples, he came to the least qualified. And when he came to find someone to spread the gospel, he came to the one who hated it the most. When God shows up, he can do amazing things. The amazing thing that God is doing now is Kingsway Christian Center. What he's doing in this building, what he's doing with some of you, what he's doing with that roof that you see in the background still gives me chills every time I think about it. The God we serve is the God of the Bible, and that God is here in this place. The word says, I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in dry lands. He is creating a path in your life today. He is doing something new. How do I know that? Well, it's the first part of the verse. I am doing something new. Do you not see it? Because do you understand what you see is too hard? God sees an opportunity. When there is no other way, it opens up the opportunity for him to make one. Because when life's too easy, we'll just go bad at doing our own thing. But some of us, especially us Americans, who have everything, want of nothing. And our biggest trouble is how we're going to entertain ourselves. That people group, we need to be shaken up. We need to face some lions, some red seas, some giants, some floods. We need some donkeys talking in our life. And the good news for you today is our God, he can't wait to do it. And he will stop at nothing to wake us up because he is here, making a way, starting new, answering prayers, keeping promises, and becoming your light in the darkness.
We at Kingsway hope you enjoyed this message from Pastor Sean. It was not by chance you listened to it. God is speaking to you. Visit kingswaycc.org to find the podcast from Pastor Sean. We pray today that this somehow inspired you to draw closer to God and to connect with his people, his purpose, and his power. God bless you.